Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles. I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
One of the biggest things that I think is important is for people to think about how to be ahead of the herd right now. And in order to be ahead of the herd, I recommend following these 7 steps that will help you get to financial freedom and accelerate your path to prosperity.
Welcome to Everyone's Talking Money podcast. I'm your host, Shauna Game. There's no judgment, no dumb questions, just smart conversations about you and your money. So come on in and grab a seat. Everyone is welcome here. Hello, welcome back to the show. It is so good to have you here. Now listen, if you're anything like me, you would love to know how to accelerate your path to prosperity. Now that word means something different for all of us. Maybe prosperity is a dollar amount to you, or being able to have time and freedom in your day. Maybe it's becoming debt-free or having a certain amount of money in your investment accounts. No matter what prosperity means to you, you need a roadmap to get there. Our guest, Louis Yannis, is the founder of WealthNet Investments and the author of a new book called Financial Freedom Blueprint. Louis also holds the Chartered Financial Analyst and Chartered Market Technician designation. So yeah, he knows his stuff. In this episode, Louis shares the 7 steps to mapping your financial future to help you secure financial independence. This is a good one, my friend. Let's head into the conversation. So Louis, you wrote this amazing book called The Financial Freedom Blueprint. And I think for everyone listening, we love the idea of financial freedom, but for many of us, we just can't even imagine it happening. I was wondering if you could just give us some maybe a pep talk or some words of wisdom around the viability of financial freedom for all of us.
Yeah, I think the first thing is it really depends on where you are right now. It all starts with that. So if you're in a position where you're living paycheck to paycheck and you are not really able to save, then that's a different thing to start out with. And there, if you're in that position, I would say the first thing is to say, okay, what is my unique ability? Where am I right now? And how can I leverage my unique ability in a way where I'm adding more value for customers, clients, or the company that I work for so that I can increase my income? Because that's step one. So for those people that are, you know, that a lot of times they can't really visualize it because they can't save. So right. It starts off with that. And that process, I mean, we could have a whole podcast just on that. But if I can kind of bottom line my experience with people about that is that it really starts off with the confidence in yourself. And then to really look inside and say, okay, what am I really, really good at? What do I really love? What's that intersection of what my unique ability is and what the marketplace will pay me well for? And stop making excuses for that, but actually take control over that part of it and then get yourself immediately, as soon as possible, in a position where you're socking a lot of money away.
So tell me a little bit about the genesis of this book. Like, how'd you come up with this idea and say, okay, this is absolutely what I need to write about?
Well, I've been in the investment management business in various elements, various jobs in the investment world for over two decades. And I started off as a financial advisor. They call them financial advisors now. Back then, it was a stockbroker. I started off doing that, and I worked for a very large firm, very well-respected firm. We had the best research on Wall Street. And what I realized was that what was happening was a lot of people were not getting independent, unbiased advice because there was so many strong conflicts in the business. And so I really decided I was going to roll up my sleeves to learn how to do well for people. So I went back and got a chartered financial analyst, chartered market technician, and I went to go work as an analyst for a hedge fund on the buy side, which means that you're not selling things, you're just investing as a fiduciary for customers. And I learned a ton doing that. And so I've been on the side of the hedge fund side, and I've been a senior portfolio manager for a large bank where we managed a lot of money. And I learned a lot of things about how to get people on the right track, anywhere from people who are, you know, mom and pops, everyday mom and pops, all the way to CEOs of publicly traded companies. But when I decided to start WealthNet Investments, which is my registered investment advisory firm, my goal was to provide that independent, unbiased advice that was not skewed by what I saw on Wall Street for all that time. And I really wanted to make sure that people can get on the right foot and not get hurt and to do the right thing for themselves. So that really was the genesis of the whole concept. What is in the book, and I tried to make it really concise, is really a culmination of all the different things that I've learned that have helped people speed up and accelerate their path to prosperity and to get to that independence, regardless of what's happening, you know, in the marketplace. Because you have to be, you know, you're going to have ups and downs in the economy, and you really have to be in a position where you're able to make reasonable rates of return and to sock money away consistently over the long run.
So I know the book really lays out these seven steps, you say, to mapping your future. And I'm hoping maybe we can walk through a few of them. Do you have like top three that maybe we can dive a little bit deeper into?
Sure. Yeah, I have no problem doing that. You know, the first step, and if you want to just kind of dive in, the first step really has to do with really looking inside yourself and saying, okay, what is important about money to me? And what are those things that are going to really get me on the right foot for my life? Because everybody is so different in terms of what they want to see in their life.
Right.
And you really can't let other people pick your goals for you. You really have to kind of identify and prioritize your own goals. And it's really important to know that you're a human being, not a number. And so you got to have a really clear plan for you, not for anybody else, not some cookie cutter plan that some financial planning program is going to give you online. You really got to look inside yourself and say, what is important about money to me? And I have this whole, in the book, I talk a lot about goal grading and how to figure out what goals are important and how to rank them. And then from there, then you start putting together a plan. You have to start off with where am I now? Where am I trying to go? And then you fill the gap there. But that's really that first step is is to find your purposes and your purpose and your values and your opportunities and threats that you have in your own life, visualize that future and have a goal transformation into a reality.
And what advice would you give? Because I know that a lot of the listeners write questions in to me all the time about just feeling completely overwhelmed at the choices. Even if we're just talking about investing, one person says do it this way, another person says do it this way. And it's hard to figure out sometimes, well, what do I even believe or what would work best for the vision I have for my life? Is there any way to walk through that process?
Okay. So when it comes to figuring out your goals, it really starts out with what is urgent first. You know, there's kind of some ways to scorecard it out for you. So you say, okay, when I'm thinking about my money, is there anything that's urgent like right now that I need to solve? Whether it be debt issues or whether it be I've got this money that I inherited that I've got to figure out what to do with. What is urgent? And then the other thing I would think about that's really important with a goal is your goals are what are my, when I'm thinking about what I want to do with my money, how is it going to affect the people that I love and people that are around me? Mm. Because a lot of people make goals all by themselves and then they wind up not thinking about how it affects everybody else that's important to them. The other thing I would look at is what are my passions? So the hardest part for me is when somebody comes and they don't really have any passions. I never understood that because I've always been a relatively passionate person.
You and me both. I've got too many of them.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, what are those passions that you have? What do you have fire for? You know, another one that I think people really overlook is my health, because there's a lot of people that will make decisions because of the money or whatever, and they wind up affecting their health in a very bad way. So without health, you have nothing. So how does this goal affect my health? Like, you know, when I first started working on the Wall Street, I had jobs that I worked 16 hours a day. You know, that was horrible for my health. You know, I mean, and I was constantly eating and breathing the bond and stock market. So you have to kind of look at those things and scorecard it out. And I show some ways on how you can scorecard it out. And everybody has different values. Some people have values that are, they may even be religious oriented, or they may have other causes in your life. So you got to figure out you have to kind of look inward for that. Nobody can give you the total answers for that. And I don't know if that's answering your question, but it starts off with yourself. And then you move into kind of more the tangible things like, where am I right now? Getting organized.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Again, I just sometimes feel like there's so many different choices and options out there that it's just really easy to get so overwhelmed. And then you find yourself in a place where you almost don't want to do anything.
Yeah. Okay. So that has to be the big choices and all that. There's too many of them. The real issue there is that there's always going to be trade-offs. There's always going to be trade-offs. And you just have to recognize, if I pick this one, I'm going to be not picking this other one, you know, this other option. But if you don't ever get past that, then you'll never get anywhere. So you have to pick a path and understand that you could course correct. Like you can take this path and then you can change if you need to. And the younger you are, the more you can do that. But you have to also look inside what your heart says. Because a lot of times, I mean, I know that I went in various directions in my life and in my career that was against my heart, but was going towards what I thought was in my head. And then it was wrong. And then I wound up changing anyway later on. So really look into your heart, but you also have to be realistic about what your heart is saying. Cause your heart might be saying to do something that is economically just not feasible.
Right. Probably had a few of those things happen, if I'm going to be honest.
Sure. But then you have to look at your where are you right now in terms of my income, my assets, my liabilities.
And what about this idea of perfectionism when it comes to money? I think there's a lot of quote unquote experts out there saying that there's, you know, a 5-step process or a 10-step process, and that if you do those steps, it leads to fill in the blank, prosperity, abundance, whatever it might be. But it's really easy to get caught up in that idea of perfectionism, and you make a mistake with your finances. And because we don't talk about money very much, it feels like a very isolating experience. So I'd just love to hear your perspective a little bit on maybe giving ourselves a little bit of a break, even if we do make a mistake.
Oh, sure. It's about progress, not perfection. That's something that Dan Sullivan from Strategic Coach talks about. And I think that's really what it's all about. You have to make progress. So think about the things that are going to move the needle the most, the simple things that you can do that are going to move the needle the most. And the first one I think that almost everybody can do is to pay yourself first. If, you know, it really starts with that. You got to get to that point if you're, you know, depending, and I don't know where your audience is, it depends on where you're at, but if you're at that point where you're feeling like, you know, you need to have perfection, that's not true. It's really about hitting the big things right. And really, if you're hitting the big things right with your finances, it starts off with having a good income, saving a lot, you know, saving as much as you possibly can, but still living a good life today.
Yeah,
it's really important because most people can't just defer spending and then have a horrible life now.
Right.
It's a
perspective. Balance. Yes, I like that word. So is there another step in these seven steps that you think is really critically important?
Well, each one of them are important, and they work the best when you go in order of them. I've just found that out from experience. So once you identify and prioritize your objectives, and then you say, okay, now I need to figure out where I am. And that means gather all your information, all my assets, liabilities, what is my income. It's amazing how many people don't even know what they have at their job. I just had a call last week with somebody who has a job over at Cornell University. It's like they have no idea what they even have. And so you got to know what do I have? And then what does that mean for me? And what are my choices that I have available to me? So, you know, once you've gotten a good feeling about facts about where I am, then it's a matter of saying, okay, now what does that mean? How am I going to fill that gap between where I am and what are those things that I can do that are realistic for me? And that means evaluating alternatives. And everybody has different alternatives. There's no easy answer. I can't just say, you know, I actually don't like it when people say it's these five easy steps because it's not right. Always easy. There are steps, but they're not always easy.
Yeah. And what do you think is the, maybe it's a mindset block, or I'm not quite sure what it is, but what do you think gets in the way of us really fully understanding where we're at financially and what we do have?
I think the biggest roadblock is taking the time. A lot of people just don't want to take the time. And it requires you to sit down and look at some things. And sometimes looking at things can be depressing. It's like, especially if it's not where you want it to be. But that, you know, that old ostrich that sticks their head in the sand, that is kind of like that. I think that is it, really. That's keeping people. But when you look at it, and if you go with the attitude of saying, look, what matters is that I deal the best I possibly can with the cards that I personally have been dealt. You know, I was not dealt a silver platter when I was a kid. I grew up on the south side of Chicago. My parents never had any money. And one day I was like dead broke, right? And I was a music guy when I was young. And I decided, you know what? I don't know what the heck I'm going to do. My grandfather was nice enough to let me rent one of his houses in the worst part of town. I was sitting there in this room. It was completely empty, but there was one box in the center and it had a bunch of books. And on the top was this green book. And I looked at the book and it said microeconomics. And it had this graph and I was like, what? This is very interesting. I started looking at this and I was like, this is it. And the reason why I thought I found out that was it, because I was working construction during the summertime just to try to figure out how to make ends meet. And I had a music scholarship, but I didn't take it. I wanted to chase girls instead. I get it. That was not a good idea.
Hey, you know, whatever.
Yeah. So it was one of those things where when I was working construction, I was like, why am I making like $6 an hour? And this man with his wife, he's wearing a suit and he lives in this multi-million-dollar house. And we're putting this like this marble on that's like $20 a square foot. What did he do differently? What did he understand differently?
Yeah.
And then I realized that it was about understanding economics. You have to understand economics, supply and demand. And so when I saw that book, it was very clear to me. I immediately stopped what I was doing. I figured out what I needed to do to get back into college. It wasn't that I couldn't get into college. I just didn't do it. You know, and then you can turn yourself around. So no matter where you are, you can turn yourself around and you can deal the best cards you can possibly, you know, deal with the cards that you have been dealt the best you possibly can.
In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in "Talkin' Money" under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. "Talkin' Money" under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters, and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless, 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/etm for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/etm to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/etm. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me, and I got my regular personalized privacy report, and I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off.
So what do you think are some of those key economic issues or strategies, tips that you think we should know about?
I think the biggest thing for young people right now is they need to realize that the government is printing a ton of money.
Literally.
Yes. And it's really important to understand what's happening. So when the government decides to spend money that more than what we can raise from taxes, like they're doing right now, we run a deficit, that money has to be financed. And normally that money is financed by issuing treasury bills, and the public would buy the treasury bills. But now nobody wants to buy the treasury bills because interest rates are so low. China doesn't want to buy those treasury bills as much anymore. So who's buying them is the Fed. And the only time the Fed can buy something is when they actually create new money. And so we're basically financing all this expense, all these expenses that the government is coming up with, the Build Back Better, all that stuff. We're financing that with inflation, because that money goes into the system. It gets put into the system, and people right now are not producing as much as they normally would be. A lot [S2] Right. [S1] Of people are not working. And so we need to start producing more. So what I think the biggest thing I would encourage everybody to understand is that inflation appears to be more than transitory right now. We have a lot of things that we need to resolve. And it's actually the millennial generation. It's your job to fix it. Because we had a lot of things that we have been, we inherited. We've kind of spent our future. And I'm not trying to be negative, but it's a reality of where we are. So we have to be more productive. We have to make some tough choices. It's not going to be easy for us to get ourselves in a better position in the United States. But that's the first thing. The second thing I would say is that you have to save aggressively. And you have to invest in a way where you're investing in those opportunities of the future, not of the past. Those innovative companies with new products and new services in high demand, that's where you need to put your capital and grow with that. And then if you make a mistake, be sure to cut your losses very quickly. That is one of the biggest pieces of advice I would give you. Cut your losses short, let your profits run. So, and diversify and save aggressively. And get yourself in a position where your human capital, what you're worth, is worth more and more in the marketplace, so that you can earn more and more if you're not an entrepreneur.
So what do you think some of those industries are that we need to be particularly attuned to?
I think anything in the healthcare area that is dealing with the new methods for healthcare, for new methods of drugs and all, that's a huge industry, and it will continue to be a strong biotech, if you will. The other thing, technology, obviously, artificial intelligence, engineering. So one of the biggest trends I see, actually, I really wanted to bring this up. I'm glad you mentioned this. We have to start creating products and services in the United States again. So engineering and being able to produce in manufacturing, I think that's going to be a big trend for millennials and for even the next generation, because right now we are so dependent on other countries to create our goods and services. It creates a real problem with us. We're over-dependent, and we're going to start creating more products here. So if you can step in front of that, I think you're going to make a lot more money.
It was interesting. I just watched, I don't know if it was CBS News, some show last week where it was talking about lithium batteries and the production of lithium batteries, and how us here in the United States, we don't have very many production houses for lithium batteries, and just how many things going forward in the future are going to be run off of lithium batteries. And so, I mean, that's just one example, but there's so many different examples of, I think, what you're talking about industries and companies that are really looking towards the future. And those things at least really, really interest me and excite me.
Absolutely. Yeah. Finding the trends. And there's a few, I had a podcast that I did. I have a podcast called The Market Call Show. And on that podcast, I have, there's one called Stop Investing Like Your Parents. And in that one, I talk about some of the ways that you can think about finding those opportunities. How do you find those opportunities that you're talking about? I'll give you a couple of clues. The first is, it all starts with the revenue and the price of the actual stocks. So you're going to see the price action move well ahead of the actual news. So by the time everybody's talking about it, it's already started to move. That just is usually how it works out. The other key is that the revenues are going to be going up a lot faster, even before they're profitable. So some of the best investments that are part of the future and not part of the past, they may not be profitable right away, but they have enormous revenue growth. So focusing in on where the revenue growth is and focusing in on where the price momentum is, you will find those companies. And it's a good shortcut way to do that. So looking at companies that have IPO'd within the last 5 years, sometimes even within the last year, and then you can find them early before you're hearing everybody talk about it on CNBC.
And how do we even begin to search for these companies? Is it just really being plugged into to what's going on in the world? And I mean, even just the products that we're using on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, I think the products that you're using on an everyday basis is a real good way to look at it. That is definitely probably the easiest way to find them, you know, when there's something new happening. One example would be of a company that's recently gone public is ZipRecruiter. Have you heard of ZipRecruiter?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yes.
Okay. It's a great company. So we hire in my firm, and we've used the different ones, Indeed and others. And we found ZipRecruiter to be, for us, the best one. And when they went public, I was immediately looking at that company, especially since employment is down. And I'm not making a recommendation for ZipRecruiter, by the way. I'm just saying it's an example. So you have a company that has a good product and service. They've got something unique. They've got a competitive advantage. And there's also some good timing there because we're employment, you know, as you know, there's a lot of people that need to be placed. And employers are like, hey, we have a ton of work and people need to start working. So there's actually more jobs out there than people are actually taking. I think that's going to reverse, actually. It'll have to reverse.
So we've seen so many years now of an upmarket. I mean, I think if somebody's listening to this show and they're in their 20s, maybe even early 30s, they've pretty much their adult life seen the market go up for the most part. Are there ways for us to really protect ourselves in rough markets? Because it's inevitable, right? I mean, history shows us that everything ebbs and flows.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is where you're getting into the risk management part of investing, which is the most important out of everything that we can talk about, other than just saving a ton of money as much as possible. Risk management is the other one. And risk management can be done in a few different ways. One way would be to figure out how you're going to position size. Position size is just saying, of my money that I have, what percentage am I going to put in this particular opportunity? So the way you figure that out is based on what is the opportunity itself. Is it a very, very good opportunity? If it is, then you want to give yourself a little more exposure to it. The second would be the volatility. So if it's an investment that has a lot of volatility. So if this is like, let me see if I can get an example. Well, okay, Bitcoin is a prime example. Everybody knows about Bitcoin. Bitcoin is a lot more volatile than the S&P 500, you know, the general stock market.
Right.
And so you want to size that position smaller than you would a stock position. So based on its volatility. So that would be one thing. And then the other thing would be, what is its diversification benefit? So is it a lot different than what my other holdings? So if you have something that's a lot different than your other holdings, then you can give it a little more size. And we're very scientific about how we do this, but that's the general concept. It's how you size your investments and diversify. And then the other thing would be to recognize that everybody gets it wrong. And this is one of the things, the best investors and traders, and I've seen some of the best in the world, they are usually right 40 to 60% of the time. And some of the best ones are right only 30% of the time. But the difference is that when they're wrong, they immediately cut their losses. They try to recognize when they're wrong as soon as possible. And the price can tell you. If you buy something and it immediately starts going down, you know, if you size it right and it goes down more than normal, and there, you know, you have to calculate what would be a normal move. If it goes down more than normal, just admit that you're wrong, get out. You can always get back into something. You know, that's really, really important because that will save you in many cases. I can't tell you how many times I've seen a fundamental story. There's a great story about why something should work out and it doesn't. And if you don't cut your losses, then what happens is you are down 50%, then you have to go up 100% just to break even. You don't want to get yourself in that kind of a position. So managing your downside is really important, both from a diversification standpoint, your position size, how much you put on, as well as just giving yourself an uncle point where you're saying, if it hits that level, even if I still think I'm right, I'm going to get out. I can always get back in.
Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated, all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress toward your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family and you want to do the best for them, but vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/ETM. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/ETM. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/ETM. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I want to talk a little bit about risk tolerance too. What role does risk tolerance play on our financial freedom journey? Because we all have a very different risk tolerance. And I know that risk tolerance changes over time, but I just would love to hear your thoughts about the role risk tolerance plays.
Well, that is a huge role. It is a huge importance. I like to look at it in a kind of like a three-legged stool. You have risk tolerance, which is kind of psychology, like how do I feel about movements in my portfolio? And some people can feel okay with larger movements and other people don't. So that's one element of it. The other part would be your risk capacity. How much risk can you take? Can your financial position take? To give you an example, if you have a long time frame, then you could take more risk. If you have a very short time frame, you should be taking less risk. If you have a lot of assets, you don't have to take as much risk as if you have a little amount of assets. So there's that part of it, risk capacity. And then the third part of it is the risk requirement, which is, in order for me to reach my retirement goal, for example, what rate of return am I going to need to make and how much risk do I need to take to get that level of return? So that would be like what you would be required to take. So, we look at those things from all three. So when somebody is saying, okay, we're trying to assess what this risk profile, how you should invest, we want to look at all three of those things. But the rule is to never invest more than your stomach can handle, because you will wind up doing the wrong thing. You'll wind up selling at the bottom and you'll wind up making poor choices and then you'll underperform. That's what I've seen in history with people.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that emotional behavioral side of money. What role does that play in our decision-making?
Oh, well, there's a ton of behavioral science concepts that are really important to understand. Like, we have this bias that we're going to look for something and to confirm what we already believe. That's called confirmation bias. That's probably one of the largest ones.
Yes.
And I think that's, having a view where you're actually more scientific about how you view things. I believe investors should think more like a doctor. And I have a whole chapter about that in my book about, think like a scientist or like a doctor when you're investing, work with the probabilities in the base case, not based on hunches. You have to have numbers as well as a story. A story by itself is not good. You also need to have numbers that can work out. But there's just a whole lot we can talk about there. What part of that do you want to dive into more? I mean, I'm not sure exactly which part of it you want to talk about.
Well, I'm thinking about even about investing. We were just talking about risk tolerance and how if we're in some investment or maybe we bought some stock and maybe it's not going so well, and our brains kind of go a little bit crazy thinking about, well, do I sell and is it smart to take a loss? Or even if we're investing in something that feels really popular at the moment, like a meme stock, or even Bitcoin is an example where maybe that irrationality kind of takes over and we're investing in something that we don't even know what it is.
Well, that's a problem. Yeah, that would be the first part, knowing what you're investing in. So like, let's take Bitcoin as an example. So a lot of people are asking me, like, what's better, gold or Bitcoin? And there's this big debate, gold or Bitcoin. And I'm going to tie this into risk tolerance. Well, we own both gold and Bitcoin. So they both have a solid reason and rationale to own it. But we have more gold than Bitcoin because gold is less volatile. And Bitcoin is very volatile. But Bitcoin has been outperforming our gold position, right? It's been doing very, very well. So as it's gone up, what we're doing is we pair back on some of the Bitcoin, and then we buy some gold with it. And we're not trying to make one better the other. But if Bitcoin were to just turn around and go down, we would be completely out of Bitcoin. We have that position size and that uncle point that says, okay, based on our position size and our risk profile, we will be completely out if it moves the other way. So, I think thinking like a doctor and a scientist is really hard for some people, but I think that is the way that you're going to avoid having big losses.
Yeah. I like that a lot. So we pick up the book, Financial Freedom Blueprint. What do you want us to walk away with after we read it?
That's a really good question. Really, I think it depends on where you are. So for a millennial, what I'd like you to walk away with is those seven steps and to do them if you haven't already done them. And the second thing would be to look at the criteria, the ADP criteria, like how to select the types of companies that make sense going forward, And also look at that. I have a formula in there that talks about how to manage risk. Look at those formulas so that you don't get yourself in a position where you're losing your nest egg. So it's a combination of financial planning and investment management that's going to lead you to success.
Lewis, this has been so, so educational. I would love to have you back on the show. We always are interested in really smart perspectives about financial freedom, but I would love for you to tell all the listeners where they can go to connect with you and get a copy of the book.
You can get it on Amazon. It's going to be released November 16th. That is the target date. You can also go to pathtorealwealth.com. That is my website that has information about the book and other things that we're doing. And that should get you every information that you need.
First off, can we just talk about the Zen quality of Lewis's voice? I love that we have all sorts of guests on this show, but Lewis has this quality about him that I don't know about you, but it really draws me in. If you want to make 2022 about doing things differently with money, you definitely need a copy of his book, Financial Freedom Blueprint. In my opinion, you can just never learn too much about money. You take what works for you, you put it to work, and you leave what doesn't aside. But more knowledge really does create more opportunities and certainly more wealth. As always, if you enjoyed this episode, do me a favor and share it with a friend or family member that you think is also on that path to prosperity.